that you always will.
And that was Skipping Like a Stone by John Craigie. And this is 88.5 KRFY. You're listening to the local music show here on Friday night, this June 26th. And we have John Craigie in the studio.
Hey, what's up, guys?
It's very nice to have you here. You're here because you're here in town to do two concerts this week, Saturday and Sunday. And Saturday, it's the big one at the Panada. And that's exciting.
Yeah, tomorrow night, Panada Theater. I got to stop calling it the Big Panada, but that's the child in me keeps coming. Because I used to play the Little Panada back when they had that, you know.
Oh, okay.
So then when the last fall, I opened for Shook Twins at the Panada, and I kept calling it Big Panada. They said, you could just call it regular Panada.
The regular Panada.
Yeah, so.
Well, it was really nice to have you in the studio last fall when you opened for the Shook Twins, and you played some of your songs. We're going to hear some of those a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And but we want to talk about this show that's coming up. It's the Panada tomorrow night. And do you know where tickets are available?
Oh, yeah, I should know that. They're available in a lot of places, but online for sure.
And I'm pretty sure probably Eichardt's.
Yeah, I think I have the list.
But, at the door. Doors open at 7 o'clock. Show is at 8.
Yeah.
And you have someone opening for you.
Yeah, and here I got the thing here. Eichardt's, Eve Leaves. Is that that's the place?
Eve's Leaves.
Eve's Leaves. Okay, cool. And then Panada.org.
Okay.
So all three of those. Or you can go to my website, johncraigiemusic.com, and there's a link there.
To Brown Paper Bag or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, okay.
And then Holy Broke from Spokane is opening, which I'm excited to hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be playing and... doing stuff off the new album and some classics. It's going to be great.
So you have a new album coming up. Before we started this interview, I listened to your last two albums, 2013, 2014. Two different ones came out, and they're very different because things in your life kind of evolved and brought you to this point. And I'm curious what's coming up.
Yeah, I think I've started working on the next album. I think a live album is probably going to pop out before the next studio album, just because those are easy for me to do, and I like to do those. But I'm getting ready. I think the next album is going to be a little more upbeat than the last one, and very. I moved to Portland recently about a year ago, sort of by a suggestion of the Shook Twins, who are my sisters from another mister, as they say.
They're friends with everyone.
Yeah, they do.
The fun girls.
Yeah, yeah. And so living there, I've just been introduced to that music scene, and I want to try to use a lot of the people that are there. So I think it's going to be sort of a fun album, but with just more stories of the journey, you know. We'll know when we get there.
So you say a little bit more upbeat.
I think so. The last one was not that upbeat. So
something came along. And so let's just get to a little bit, and then we'll hear a song,
sure.
too. What I gathered from hearing your two different albums is you're a storyteller. You kind of bring a lot of humor in, but I don't hear that so much in your songs. In your storytelling, it's a lot of funny things. But in your songs, it gets very personal, I'd say.
I think I pulled that from a lot of my heroes, like Arlo Guthrie and John Prine.
I was going to say John Prine.
Yeah, that's, I think he's kind of all of our guy we look up to. And, I think it's important to have that balance. And, you know, the stories never, I didn't think they were going to be funny when I started out. I just needed someone to talk to every day because I was traveling solo. And funny things do happen to you when you're out there in the world. I could tell you a quick funny story. Last night, I was in Cleveland. And at the merch table, sometimes people come up and they'll ask you kind of rhetorical questions, you know. And one common question is when you're selling your CDs, I have four available at the table. And they'll say, well, which one is your favorite? You know, and then I'll usually defer that question by saying, well, this one has the live stuff. This has this song. Well, a guy came up last night, pretty aggressive. And he said, which one's your favorite? And he was there with his wife. They've both been kind of drinking. And I said, well, this one has the live stuff. He said, I didn't ask what they had. I said, which one's your favorite? I said, well, you know, I like them all. This one has a mellower vibe. And then he said, I said, which is your favorite? And, you know, his wife was, honey, calm down now. And now normally what I can do to kind of defer this question is I can say, Well, it's like asking someone who their favorite child is. So I say that to him, and then his wife says, yeah, see, honey, you can't pick. And he just looks me right in the eye, and he goes, David. And she goes, and he goes, you know it's true. And then they got in this big fight and walked away.
Oh, my God.
So that happens sometimes. You know, these are the sort of things. And you have no one to tell. So the next day, I go to the show, and I would tell a story like that.
Life on the road. What happened?
But I found I always liked telling stories when I was a kid, and people had fun with that. So the humor comes out. But I have a couple of I think some of the songs can be a little humorous, but I usually put those in the live albums. So I like the studio albums to be not so serious, but just a little more timeless. And a lot of times the funny songs can be kind of timely, as I'll show you when I play my first song. But anyway, I think that tomorrow night we'll get a nice mix of humor and storytelling and seriousness.
It's a very pleasant. I've heard you. I love it. So that's great. I just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY, and this is the first part of the local show.
All right.
Right here live in the studios with John Craigie. And I mentioned that you're going to do two concerts. Well, tomorrow night's the Panada.
Yeah.
And that's, everyone's invited. And the other one is at the Sandpoint Reader.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Live at the Office. They've been having these concert series, and it's very intimate. Holds maybe 30 people. It's very fun. You really get to experience the music in a different way. And for the artist and the musician, it must just be really fun and awesome.
Yeah, Ben explained it to me, and I got real excited. I love that kind of stuff.
It's a listening experience. And so those tickets, I think, are available. You could probably call the Sandpoint Reader or go online and see what on their website, it talks about how to get tickets.
Yeah, and for the hardcore fans out there, I will do two separate sets. So if you feel like you weren't sure whether you should go to both, if you want to go to both, you'll get a special, unique set on Sunday that won't overlap with Saturday.
It'll be very different.
Yeah, I'll offer that. Yeah.
And the show at the office is 6 p.m. on Sunday.
Cool.
So that's the information we needed to get out.
Yeah.
I also want to remind our listeners that at the end of the show, we'll be putting on one of your songs.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have a pair of tickets to give away to, what do you say, the third caller at that
third
point?
Third caller sounds good.
Not now, but when we say go.
Yeah.
And right now we'd love to hear a song.
Yeah, let's talk about, I was thinking about this song this morning as I was flying from Cleveland here. I noticed it on Facebook, it was blowing up with the Supreme Court decision. And I got really excited. This is a song I wrote a few years ago. And it's just, sometimes you like it when your songs get out of date. And so this song I'll be retiring this weekend because it's no longer necessary. But this is a true story about a couple years ago this happened. Well, I was driving to a gig just the other day when the president came on the radio, said marriage was okay, not just for the straights but also for the gays. And like most Americans, I was amazed. Gays have to get married now? Haven't they suffered enough? But I figured, fair is fair. That was cool with it. When I got to my gig, this guy told me the president was evil, said it was written all there in his Bible. I looked over his shoulder, I said, well, hey, what book is this? He said, John, the almighty book of Leviticus. Check it out, chapter 18, verse 22. No dude should lie down with another dude. I mean, that's a paraphrase, but that's kind of what it says. Now, I had gone to Catholic school. I had forgotten that little rule, so I borrowed his Bible. I kept reading on. I wanted to see what else Leviticus thought was wrong. So here are a list of some things that Leviticus thinks is wrong. I hope that's okay. Oh, Leviticus. You in the Bible so they take you serious. Are you too old? Are you still relevant? Oh, my sweet Leviticus. Chapter 19, verse 23 said a few interesting things. It said, don't let cows graze with other kinds of cows. Don't plant more than one crop in the same field. And don't wear clothes made out of more than one kind of fabric. I paused to let that sink in. I also paused because nothing rhymes with fabric. Chapter 18, verse 27 says you shouldn't cut your hair or shave your beard ever. I know to most of us that doesn't sound like much fun, but I got some hippie friends in Santa Cruz, California, and they love that one. Chapter 27, verse 23 says you should be stoned to death if you curse your mommy or your daddy. Chapter 18, verse 24 says you should be stoned to death if you ever blaspheme the Lord. Man, I should mention, there is a lot of stoning to death in this book. And if any of my hippie friends from Santa Cruz are listening and they don't know what stoning to death means, come talk to me later. I'll tell you, you're not going to like it. Verse 10 of chapter 23 says all psychics and wizards should be stoned to death. That's cool with me. Verse 19 of chapter 24 says anyone who is blind, deaf, or dumb, or has any other birth defect is not welcome at the altar of the Lord. Ouch. That seems harsh. I wonder if being a folk singer is considered a birth defect. Sadly, in the eyes of Leviticus, I fear the answer is yes. Oh, Leviticus, Leviticus. You're in the Bible, so they take you serious. Are you too old? Are you still relevant? Oh, my sweet Leviticus. I was having fun reading and learning all this new stuff when the guy grabbed his Bible, told me to stop, packed up his things. He ran off real quick. It was the first time in history where a guy with a Bible forced someone to stop reading it. It was great. But I don't care who you vote for as long as you vote. I don't care what your religion is. I would just hope if people could get worked up over stuff like that, maybe they could get worked up over stuff that's way, 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 way more important. Like feeding people. Healing sick people. Loving your neighbor, you know, no big deal. Just all that Jesus stuff.
How did you remember all those verses?
Yeah. I hope I got them right.
What was that called?
I call that the Talking Leviticus Blues. And I don't try to get too political on the radio, but that was a song that seemed necessary to write at that time. And it's a... I just wrote on Facebook today, I said to the Supreme Court, thank you for making that song not topical anymore and now just a historical song. So I appreciate that. And that's about as political as I can get.
There you go. Yeah. So it reminded me of a folk singing troubadour.
Yeah, that's that framework. The talking blues is something that I feel is almost like a rite of passage. I first heard Dylan's got a bunch of them, but Woody Guthrie, I don't know who you could say invented it, but Guthrie did it. Todd Snyder did it. Everyone that does what I do has to write at least one. I've got a couple of them, but that's one of my favorite ones. And it's a nice one because it doesn't have to rhyme that much, you know, if you don't want it to. So I like that.
Right. So we're here in the studios live with John Craigie, getting a little preview of the concert that's coming up tomorrow night and on Sunday evening also.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night it's at the Panada. Tickets at iCarts and Eve's Leaves and Panada.org. And probably at the door, too.
At the door, yeah. We'll see how we do.
The door opens at 7.
Yeah.
And you'll get a chance to see John on stage.
Yeah, and it'll be a high honor for me. I've been coming to Sandpoint for almost 6 years now, and I've been doing, I played every little tiny room in every living room that I could. And this is a big step for me. So I appreciate your support, Sandpoint, any way you can. Mm-hmm. I know I'll be seeing a lot of people that are very close to me that have helped me along the way, and it'll mean a lot to me no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the things I mentioned earlier is your album from 2013 called The Apocalypse Is Over was really different than the next one that is called Working on My Farewell.
Yeah, yeah.
So things happened, your life. So they really kind of are a musical snapshot of something that's going on. Not necessarily every song is personally what's happened to you, but the mood of the album. So something happened in between those two albums.
Yeah, and I think that's when you make an album, the best thing you can do is capture your mood or the mood of whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. The country or the place you are, whatever you're trying to do, it's I think that's all the best albums that I've loved kind of do that for me. I can kind of see kind of where that person was at. And,
it's kind of like the truth.
Yes. Well, that's kind of what we're going for here. You know, I have a new song I'm working on that talks about that. It says, we can't sing about trains anymore because if you don't ride, you know, I think a lot of people get into this sort of traditional sense. They want to sing about coal mining and trains. But people really just want to hear you talk the truth. People just want to hear the truth. Mm-hmm. And so if you do ride trains and mine coal, then sing about that. But if you don't, tell us what's really going on. Because at this point, there's a lot of music out there. And when people come, I've noticed that that's the thing that they appreciate the most. Yeah.
It seems like your songs are personal in that they reflect your mood. And you pick up threads of ideas that you gather along the way in life. And you've been on the road for quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Actually, your bio says that you've been on the road for 12 years.
Yeah.
Some way, shape, or form, you've kind of made Portland your home base now.
Yeah, I'm not there too often. Mm-hmm. Just a place to kind of store some stuff and in between. But my buddy Gregory and I talk about that. When people ask you how long you've been on the road, we always say it depends on how good the show went. If the show didn't go so well, you're like, oh, you know, just a couple years. But if the show went really well, then you can get proud and say, 12 years, baby. So, but yeah, I think 12 years, that's when I started playing shows. But it's only been about 6 years or so that I was fully on the road.
On the road. I noticed on your website, looking at your upcoming tours and things like that, I think you have at least 10 booked shows in the month of July, all in Oregon.
Yeah, and a couple in Alaska. I'm doing Alaska at the end of the month. So.
And then you're off to Alaska.
Yeah,
and then I think you're down in Southern California.
Yeah, we'll go,
or Mid-California.
I'll go to Santa Cruz in L.A. before Burning Man, and then Burning Man will kind of end off the summer like it does. So it's exciting.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how is it? I mean, I was thinking, talk about mood and what's the next album that's coming up and the next musical project or expression. Is anything about being on the road kind of coming up for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a thread in all the albums, you know, because that is kind of what keeps you going and keeps you sane. And so I think every single song of mine has some sort of thread of travel in it. And that was something that, because for me, when I was a kid growing up in L.A., it's really what was my dream, and I didn't think it was a possibility. So that's something that you can kind of always tune into whenever you're down. You say, man, you know, if 15-year-old John could see it, even at your worst show, he'd be so excited. You know, he'd say, wow, you got to play guitar and people listen? That's amazing. You know?
And sing your songs.
Yeah, exactly. And so that keeps you going. But, you know, the stories, everything comes from that, I think, for me at least, personally.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important to me.
If folks want to hear more of your songs, they can go to your website and get a picture of what you're doing.
For sure.
You have four albums out.
Yeah, and whatever else you like, if you like Spotify or Pandora or all the magical things on the internet, they're all just John Craigie, JohnCraigie, like Craig with an IE. And you could just even Google that and just see where it takes you.
Mm-hmm. And we are live here in the studios. I want to remind our listeners that this is 88.5 KRFY, and it is the local show. I'm Susie Prez. It's really fun to have you here, John.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, and it'd be fun to hear another song.
Yeah.
Also, just to know that at the end of the show, when we put on a recorded song, your cactus song, we'll give away a pair of tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
Just keep that in mind, so keep listening.
Thank you, yeah. This song is about a time I met a man in New Orleans who claimed he wrote the song Mr. Tambourine Man, which the rest of us assume Bob Dylan wrote. And he had a pretty compelling argument, and he also said some very wise things. And I compiled our conversation to this song. This is called I Wrote Mr. Tambourine Man. The tambourine man. The little man ain't nothing but a thief. But I don't care at all. I was destined to be poor. I was destined to stay in this city. The New Orleans in the morning after Mardi Gras. It's like the sweetest hangover you ever saw. All the buildings sag, beads hang from the trees in the pink sky dawn. I stumbled to Lafitte's in the corner of the bar. A notepad and a pen, a little hair of the dog. out on Mr. Tambourine. Man, when the apocalypse is over, I hope you like your job. Ain't it a shame? Nobody sets anybody free anymore. A song where the singer is mad at their ex, 'cause they said they'd always love them. Now they've gone up and left, and they complain in their wife, and they want them to come back home. I say, out of 7 billion people, let the ones who don't love you go. When the apocalypse is over, I hope you like your job. Oh, ain't it a shame? Nobody sets anybody free anymore. Yeah. Oh, never trust a musician who plays with their eyes open. All the good stuff happens when they're closed. You gotta give yourself the shivers before you can give them to someone else. So I wrote Mr. Tambourine Man and I left it in the dust. The perfect song is the song that you only got to play once. I don't wanna be no dinosaur blaming the asteroid for my strife. I might have been born yesterday, but I've been up all night. Oh, when the apocalypse is over, I hope you like your job. Oh, no, ain't it a shame? Nobody sets anybody free anymore. Oh, ain't it a shame? Oh, ain't it a shame? Ain't it a shame? Nobody sets anybody free anymore. Yeah, that's what he told me, you know. And so,
Mr. Tambourine Man.
Yeah, the short story of it is that I played a gig in New Orleans at this place called Checkpoint Charlie, and it was a two-set gig. So in my set break, I had done Mr. Tambourine Man in my set, and this old man came up to me and told me he wrote that. And it was an interesting story because the legend behind the Dylan version is that he wrote it in New Orleans during Mardi Gras. And this guy claimed that he was a street poet, that he had been out there in Mardi Gras in the early 60s, Dylan was there, and that Dylan was real wasted and had a tambourine and kind of hung out with him as they wandered around through the city. And then that morning, when Dylan disappeared into the mist, he went to a bar and wrote a poem called Mr. Tambourine Man for Dylan, about Dylan, sent it to him care Columbia Records, and never heard back, but did hear his words sung to music years later. And I think what his point he was making was that that song signifies a departure from Dylan's sort of very obvious protest lyrics, kind of really easily to decipher, to sort of this newer trend into the more psychedelic and more metaphorical thing. And so he was taking credit for that too. But regardless of the truth of his story, he spoke a lot of truth in our discussion. And so I took a lot of those lines from him. So.
And why not? And who knows?
You never know.
You
I
never
like to. I think it's more fun to listen to the people you think are crazy. You might get a good song out of it.
That's probably what you pick up on the road quite a bit. It could happen in a grocery store.
Exactly. I'm always ready.
You're always ready. Yeah. And we could talk a little bit about songwriting. I mean, this is what you do. You tell stories, you write songs, you sing them, you perform them. And I just want to say that was excellent, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Really
nice. I like that one.
Yeah. And so how is that for you? Are songs, do they ever take a break from coming towards you, or are they pretty much
I've been
hanging
lucky.
Out?
I got a lot of friends. That's one of my favorite things to do is geek out about the songwriting craft. And I've been hired at a few festivals to give classes on it or whatever. And it's really fun to discuss it. And I think that I've been pretty lucky in the sense that I've had some friends go through some significant writer's blocks. I've been pretty good. There's been moments, I think, where I've had that, but nothing too long. I think that you reach a point at some point when you don't mind a little writer's block because you got a lot that you're still trying to hash out. And so a break from it sometimes is nice. And a lot of times too with songs, some song will take a year to write.
Sure.
One you'll get done in a day. And so as you're writing one, over the course of a year, you might have 10 more that kind of come in easy. And I think a lot of things in life are like that, you know.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to say that I saw you when you played an open for the Shook Twins.
Mm.
And I hadn't ever really experienced it except for the interview you did here that day prior to the concert. And really great show.
I mean, to me, it
could have almost stolen the show. We all know what the Shook Twins do.
Yeah,
they're great. We love them. But what a surprise.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a really great night, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what we can expect tomorrow night is John Craigie on the Panagist stage opening Holy Broke.
Yes.
A guy, I forget his real name.
Kent Euland, if I'm saying that right.
I think that's right. And but you on the stage, it's going to be a real treat. So we want to let people know it is at the Panada. Tickets are available at Eichardt's, Eve's Leaves, and Panada.org. And probably at the door. The door opens at 7. The show's at 8. And also, second opportunity. You could go to both shows, as you say. They'll be different.
Totally different. If you're in the hardcore crew, come on out Sunday at 6, you said?
6.
Yeah, at the Reader office. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that one.
And that's at 111 Cedar Street. And you can probably call them and find out more about that. But tomorrow night, it's the Panada.
And big thanks to the Reader for putting me on the cover yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see what they said, if there's an article or something in there.
It's a great article, actually.
Oh, good.
It's
okay.
Really nice.
Oh, that's great.
And I just want to talk a little bit more about the future for you. You've got possibly a live album coming up, and then probably all those songs that have been percolating around in the book and in your head and on the table will come out as a studio album down the road.
I'll be recording that this fall.
Okay.
And then
probably in Portland.
Definitely.
Take a little break from the road for a bit.
Yeah, I just got a new house with Nico from the Shook Twins is living there with me and his girl and there's a band called Fruition. I don't know if they ever come up here, but Fruition's from Portland. The drummer's living there with his girl. So it's a musical household. And we have there's a piano and a beautiful living room. So I'm trying to hire a guy to come in the living room and just do it. Okay, I like that kind of style. And, I just was watching this movie called Love and Mercy, which is the Brian Wilson biopic. I don't know if you saw that yet. Really beautiful movie. That was really inspiring just to watch the studio footage of them doing Pet Sounds in a room like not much bigger than this room. It was crazy, you know, and really inspired me to remember. I mean, I do most of my albums in rooms like that, but I'm never as close as those people were to each other. And so I really want to get close to, like, I want to sit with my friends and just play songs. And,
So is anyone going to play with you tomorrow night?
We're working on a special local surprise guest, but I'm not going to say because he's in Missoula tonight and we're hoping he can make it. To town, but he's a dear friend of mine, and we'll try to pull him up. Otherwise, I'll just be holding the space, you know.
And really telling your stories and singing your songs and bringing this very special folk troubadour style performance to the Panada stage tomorrow night. And that's
a lot of fun stuff has happened between now and the November show. So I expect some good stories and a lot of new songs off the new album, and then. And some of the classics, if there are classics, then they'll be doing this.
Right. I was just in Missoula and saw Willie Nelson.
Oh, wow.
At the park over there. And Alison Krauss, Union Station,
amazing.
Jerry Douglas, the whole group. And you just think he's 82 years old. He's still performing. There's something to that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've been on the road for a while and you keep going.
Yeah.
What is it that makes you want to keep doing it?
Well, I think some people just have it in them where it's just not worth being here if you're not doing that. You know what I mean? And
it's like a calling almost.
Yeah. I've had some times in my life, not for very long, where I was unable to or just had to take a little time off. And those were the worst times in my life, you know. So I think it becomes a therapy, you know, the being able to tell. I mean, that's such a... It's such a gift the audience gives. I remember when I was younger, a man once said to me, he said, a person is alive to the extent of which they are heard. And I thought that was an amazing statement. And I realized how blessed we are as musicians to get every night, whatever we need to say gets heard and usually not questioned too much. And it's a real gift that the audience gives us. And so I think we all have something to say, and we're lucky that we get to do it, you know, as musicians. So
you've traveled around the world. I just want to read a quote. Your fans span generations, political ideologies, and geographic locations, but they are all charmed by your dynamic yet humble troubadour folk presentation.
That's a kind quote.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, nice. So, and just a reminder, I guess we'll say this is it.
Sure. Is that you, okay. You feel okay?
Yeah,
feel
unless good. You want to do another song.
I can always do more songs. Yeah.
Really?
Do we have time for that?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, let's do another one.
Okay.
What should we do?
I would love that. Whatever you want. Anything but cactus, because okay. We're going to go okay. out with cactus.
Good, good, good. Well, let's do something more. Let's keep it upbeat then. I'll try something from...
And we will be giving away, too, a pair of tickets at the end of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So stay tuned. And here's another song.
Let's do another fun one. I think this is a cute song that I'll do. This is silly, but it's sort of this modern dating song that I tried to keep updated with. I want to stay topical, like I was saying. And now that the Leviticus is not topical anymore, I've got to write something more topical. So this is a cute song about people who are trying to date others back in the game and in this with modern technology. And it goes like this. Well, do yourself a favor. Don't go looking at the pictures on my phone. Cause you might see something that you don't see at all. I'm a good boy, I swear, but it's a dark world out there. So do yourself a favor, don't go looking at the pictures on my phone. I was with my last girl since 2010. Now it's 2015 and I'm single again. Oh, and so much has changed. Sending pictures is the way people flirt these days. So do yourself a favor, don't go looking at the pictures on my phone. You might want to see some pics from when I went and saw Springsteen. But don't swipe left, don't swipe right, don't even touch the screen. Because I've been texting with this girl from France, and apparently she don't ever wear no pants. So do yourself a favor, don't go looking at the pictures on my phone. Yeah, yeah, do yourself a favor, don't go looking at the pictures on my phone. Because you're going to see something that you don't want to see at all. Oh, I'm a good boy, I swear. But it's a dark world out there. So do yourself a favor, don't go looking at the pictures on my phone. And I got a friend in Wisconsin and she tells me that it's cold. She asked for some pictures of my stuff and I said, girl, I don't know. Because I took over 40 shots, all different angles. Not one of them looked hot. So do yourself a favor, don't go looking at the pictures on my phone. I found the number of a girl I hadn't talked to in a while. So I texted her, me wearing nothing but a smile. But she has traded phones with her mom, and apparently her mom don't mind at all. So do yourself a favor, don't go looking at the pictures on my phone. Everybody, do yourself a favor, don't go looking at the pictures on my phone. Yeah, cause you're gonna see something that you don't wanna see at all. Yeah, I'm a good boy, I swear, but it's a dark world out there. So do yourself a favor, don't go looking at the pictures on my phone. Yeah, do yourself a favor, don't go looking at the pictures on my phone. I tried to delete them, but now there's just a folder that says, recently deleted. Please tell me how to delete the stuff I've already deleted. Until then, do yourself a favor, don't go looking at the pictures on my phone.
Really?
That's a silly one.
That's
for you
a silly one. Oh, man. I wonder why people really do that. But whatever.
Yeah, I just had noticed that in my time, a friend of mine would hand me a phone and say, hey, check out this picture. You'd be like, but don't touch anything, you know.
So who knows what's on those phones?
Yeah. Try to stay topical.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for listening, guys. Thanks so much. Come tomorrow. Doors at 7, show at 8. Holy Broke opens at the big Panada, the regular Panada, the normal size Panada.
Panada.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. Thank you.
It's a wonderful stage. It has great sound. And this is John Craigie. He's been in the studio. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. It's been fun talking with you. I'd love to do it again anytime you're in town.
Yeah,
please.
I'll bother you. And caller number, what is it?
We're going to see number 3.
Yeah.
So as soon as the song comes on, this is called Cactus. And I want to remind you, this is 88.5 KRFY. It's the first part of the local show. You'll hear the rest of it after we sign off. As soon as the song starts playing, it's John Craigie Cactus. The third caller will get a pair of tickets. So hang on. Here goes. And...
One, two, three.
Mm-hmm.